It is good to be back. We had a wonderful time. We really did. And I was so impressed with our group and with each and every member. There was just not a weak link at all. And it was just a wonderful time. But oh, did it feel good to be back home. And I think each and every one of us would say that. So no roosters crowing. Looking at Don and Jane. Yeah, they didn't miss the roosters crowing throughout the night and in the early morning hours. They didn't get good sleep the whole time there, but they were amazing. It is good to be back. I'm carrying on with a sermon series. I got started before I left, and so we're still in chapter 1 of the book of Mark, finishing that one. But great to be able to just focus in on Jesus. The character of Jesus, the majesty of Jesus, the power of Jesus, truly the Son of God. And above all, then, it is our hope, our prayer that, oh God, could you just please let some of the character, some of the image of Jesus just keep forming in me, in us, in each one of us. And so that's really the prayer as we go through the Gospel of Mark. Let me pray real quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to be here to preach your word. Lord God, we're astounded sometimes. Just the life of Jesus, the most perfect person who ever walked this earth, God in flesh. Lord, I just pray that you would bring out then in this message both his power and majesty, but the beauty, the humility of Jesus, and may that humility also then be something that rubs off on us, Lord God, and takes hold, anchoring us down. So, Lord, please do a wonderful work in us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our day, there just is a lot of hype and very little depth. Do I have to look any further than the political scene? You know, the two candidates that we had, and I don't like to get into politics much, but I think Dr. Waldell will put it well. Well, you had your choice between a narcissistical liar and a pathological liar or a pathological narcissist. Take your pick. But so much hype and so little depth. And all these reality shows and on TV and movies, there's so much hype, so little depth, so much smoke, and so little fire, so little real fire. But perish the thought that that would identify us, or that would speak to any of us, or any of us would feel like, that's kind of me though. A lot of hype, lacking in depth. A lot of movement, but not anchored down. A lot of smoke, but not very much fire. One of the secrets to Jesus was his prayer life. So here in the first chapter of Mark, you know, we get a glimpse of this. And just before that, I mean, he's had this amazing day and evening of ministry after healing Peter and Andrew's, Peter's mother-in-law, and all of a sudden it said just people started coming to the house, and he was casting out demons and he was healing people. So it must have been intense ministry he was doing, and Jesus knew how to work and work intensely. If you'll remember, there was a time when he must have been so exhausted, he falls asleep in the boat as they're crossing. I can't remember which sea it was. And all of a sudden, a storm comes up, and it was so bad, the storm, that seasoned fishermen are freaking out. I mean, they think they're going to lose their lives. And did this storm wake up Jesus? No. They had to wake him up. He was fast asleep, it said. I mean, how exhausted do you have to be to sleep through a storm like that in a boat, right? I mean, he knew how to work hard, but he knew how to get himself anchored down. And so it said that very early in the morning, catch that, very early in the morning, can you imagine? I mean, he's tired, he's fatigued. And yet still, very early in the morning, before anybody else got up, because nobody even knew where he had gone to, they didn't know, they had to go look for him, right? He got up, went off to a solitary place, to pray. And it wasn't just an isolated experience. There's other times in the Gospels where it says that Jesus went off to pray. In fact, in Luke 5:16, I put that in your sermon notes, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He knew what it was to go before God in solitude, away from the cacophony and all the bulla, as they would say in Spanish. La bulla, la mucha bulla, the noise, the busyness, and get alone with God. And that's a discipline that so few of us, even seasoned Christians, have even explored or know about. The disciplines of solitude and silence, getting alone with God. But y'all, that is where we get our batteries charged. And that's where God can even go nuclear with us and strengthening us and helping us to be grounded. Because for too many of us, our lives are hype, and there isn't that restfulness there. And there's the invitation in Matthew 11:28. Again, it's printed right there in your bulletin notes. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And it's a rest that goes deep into the very soul and into the heart. It's not just a physical rest. And for so many of us, that's what we need. And I know there's work to be done. And how can I fit this into my schedule? You don't even understand. Really? This is an invitation from Jesus. And Jesus didn't understand about work. He didn't understand about constant demands, intensity, intense activity. And yet he says, come away with me. I know you're burdened. I know you're tired. And for some of you, I know you're bone tired. Come away with me. Come to that solitary place and you'll find your rest. Are you anchored down or are you tossed around? And I'm thinking, I get that from Ephesians 14. In Ephesians 14, and right after Paul is talking about how the goal of all that we do, especially in the church, is that we as the church body, we can manifest the fullness of Christ among us. That, so that, therefore, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, and in just all of life tossed back and forth by the waves instead of being anchored down. We're anchored down when we get alone with God, when we open up His Word and let the Holy Spirit just flow and speak into our lives. We get anchored down when we get alone with God and we pray. We get anchored down when we come to church and fellowship with Christian brothers, the body of Christ. And just as Rachel was mentioning, how important and impactful that message was for us, that we all come with different gifts, but I need you all. I'm the pastor. Honestly, when all is said and done, I have so few of the gifts. I need you all. We need each other. So we get anchored down when we come to church. We get anchored down when we're practicing good stewardship, being good stewards of our time and talents and treasures. So we get anchored down when we connect with God. I love E.M. Bounds had a quote in one of his books on prayer, and it's perfect. And he's talking about this hype versus depth. And he says, activity is not strength. So hype, that's not strength. He says, work is not zeal. Zeal is fire. So that hype, that work, is not fire, zeal. Moving about is not devotion. And that's oftentimes what we can be like as Christians, and especially in the church. It's this constant, frenetic activity. Then he goes on and says, activity, hype, is often the unrecognized symptom of spiritual weakness. Ouch. Ooh, that hurt anybody here other than me? Enthusiasm, hype, is more active than faith, though it cannot remove mountains nor call into action any of the omnipotent forces which faith can command. Now that That's depth. Calling into action the omnipotent forces with which faith can command. If there be real spiritual life, a deep-toned activity will spring from it, but it is an activity springing from strength and not from weakness. It is an activity which has deep roots, many and strong. Do you have those deep roots? The activities that you do, do they come from strength? Or do they come from the weakness, the insecurities, the struggles, the tension, the stress? Where is it coming from? What would you rather? A life that's one of hype or one of depth? Do you want to continue being tossed back and forth by the waves or be anchored down? Jesus is our perfect example, always our perfect example. And he went off to solitary places and prayed. This is what we need to do. We need to get anchored down through prayer. The other thing I love in that second half of the sermon text today is how Jesus attempted to keep a low profile. You know, if a PR man, you know, one of the PR men from today, men, women, whatever, if they would have gotten a hold of Jesus, what do you think that conversation would have been like? Now, Jesus, oh, I could do so much. I could take you so far. Oh, my goodness. I mean, these miracles. Oh, man. And the leper was healed. Wow. Let me tell you. Now, but Jesus, oh, you got to tone some things down, okay? Oh, my goodness. I heard that sermon. If he who doesn't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. I mean, come on, Jesus. Did you notice how many of the people then walked away from you? Come on. Numbers, numbers, numbers. We got to keep the numbers up, Jesus. And please, Jesus, I mean, you got to come to work with these Pharisees, you know, the synagogue rulers. You know, you got to learn to work with them, okay? Because they can really help to promote you. I mean, they're movers and shakers, okay? So, Jesus, work with me, will ya? But Jesus wasn't like that. Even to the consternation of his own family sometimes. I mean, his own brothers were like, hey, Jesus, you going to the fest? This was back when his brothers still were just, I mean, not even believing in him. They're like, why don't you take these miracles to Jerusalem and go to the festival? Come on, show yourself. I mean, you're the big man, right? And his disciples, well, come on, Jesus, where are you? Everybody's looking for you. I mean, we got a show to do here. You're the main act. Now, let's go to another town now. Why? What? He was keeping this low profile. He tells the leper, hey, I healed you. Now, do what the law requires. Go show the priest, offer the sacrifice, but keep this quiet. Well, the guy didn't. And poor Jesus, because after that, you know, he is stuck then out in these, how did it put it in the scripture, in these lonely places. He had to stay outside in lonely places as a result. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. But I love that about Jesus. He wasn't into self-promotion. You know people who self-promote? You know people like that? Yeah, there's the thought, it's us. You know, the people that are, yeah, their conversation is very egocentric and they're trying to, you know, build themselves up and, again, just turn on the TV if you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, maybe in some careers, maybe you have to do that to advance. You know, all right, God bless you, but it wasn't Jesus' style. He didn't need to self-promote. And his mission wasn't to bring in big numbers. And I think there's some churches that need to get this message too. It's not about the numbers. It's about depth. It's about discipleship. Go therefore and bring in big numbers. I want to see a big band and a big show. And go therefore and make disciples, and go deep with them, that they'd be people of prayer, that they'd be people of the word, that they'd be people of depth. This is what Jesus wanted. And so I want to invite you, like Jesus, to forsake vanity. Just forsake vanity to where you can just say, my life is not about myself. It's all about Christ. And if he does wonderful things through me, I'm just going to say, point B, so you also, when you've done everything you were told to do by Jesus, you should say, I'm just an unworthy servant. I've only done my duty. You see how that humble response, it's forsaking vanity. Pride brings a person low, actually. This self-promotion, does it build you up, really? Not in God's eyes. And certainly, that's not the way God gets things done. In fact, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up. What do you want to do? Be lifted up by yourself and self-promotion? Or be lifted up by God? Let's see, which is better? Yeah. No more self-promotion. I invite you, forsake vanity. Let's just look for some humble servanthood. No self-promotion. I love that proverb, 27:2. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. Someone else, and not your own lips. Let your work and your character do the talking for you. Let your work and your character do the talking for you. And if it's God lifting you up, and because it's all about Christ, and I'm just lining my life up with Christ, just like the Bible says, and I'm walking with his Spirit, and his Spirit's in me, oh, God will lift you up. Oh, he will do some pretty cool things in and through you and with you and for you. Oh, yeah. Here I am, just doing like he told me to. I love Proverbs 22 and 29. It says, do you see someone skilled in their work? Someone who God is building them up? And really, I'm still thinking Spanish, capacitándole, training them. They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. Yeah. That's what God will do. He will lift you up. He will so distinguish you in that way. Yeah, sometimes I'll go to the gym, and there'll be some guy that's just all talk, braggadocious, and thinks he's just, hot stuff and everything. But I love the guy that walks over there, and this guy's just, and they always grunt and scream, and they like to bang the weights and everything. And then there's the guy that comes over, and with what this guy's benching, he's gonna go overhead with it in a snatch, 250, 300 pounds. And there's no grunting. And he just puts it down and walks away. None of this. Who do you respect more? You want to say to this other guy, you know what? Shut up and build up. Might be a little ouch here, but maybe that's the message some of us need. No more self-promoting. Shut up and build up. But be built up by God. Just walk with him. It's what I was trying to tell the kids. He loves you. Let him in. Let him take over. Align your life with him. And get anchored down. I know you're busy. I know. Oh my goodness, our culture's awful about that. Ooh, we are busy. B-U-S-Y. Stands for being under Satan's yoke. Yeah. Well, I don't have time to get alone with God. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, you carve out time and then just watch how all of a sudden that work, I don't understand, but it's getting done. It is. Because now God is powering you up in those times of solitude and silence and prayer. No more hype. Depth. Don't go for hype. forsake vanity, no self-promotion. Let it be God promotion. Humble yourselves before under God's mighty hand that he might lift you up. No hype, depth, but those roots that grow deep and strong and spread wide. All of a sudden, make that tree become glorious and the fruit. Not only will you be pleased, but oh, God will be so pleased. My beloved child, in whom I'm so pleased. Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant, you'll hear. Welcome. Welcome. That's our goal. No hype. Depth. That's what gets us there. Jesus showed it to us. That's the way we should walk. Amen.